What when I, because I'm getting a new one, getting installed and everything this week, and watch when I get it installed, it's just gonna like get cold and
get rainy
and like just gonna be, you know, early 20s for the rest of the summer.
You have got a black cloud above you, my friend. You have Bowen luck. That's what they call it.
Bowen luck, dude. Exactly.
Man, the Leafs, Bowen luck, man.
Leafs, Cowboys, you name it, man. why'd I do this to myself?
I couldn't tell you, man. I think maybe you're just bored.
Bored. Makes life interesting.
Oh, breaking news.
Who else is dead, man?
Yeah, dude. Okay, listen. I got breaking news.
Okay, all right.
The death of Slim Shady.
Oh, yes.
You ever heard of that album?
That is a sorts of death.
Right?
Death of sorts, I guess.
Have you heard about that new album that came out?
I heard of it, and actually...
have you heard how controversial it is, man?
Oh, no, of course it is. I went to... I always get going to the Sunrise Records.
Yep.
You know, they used to have one at Polo.
Dude, it's the only thing alive now, I guess.
Exactly, man. But I still go there. I like to purchase CDs still. You know, I'm still one of those weird people that purchase CDs. Yeah. And also DVDs. I like purchasing Blu-rays and 4K movies and all stuff.
Yeah, the internet's going to stop one day.
Exactly. And for me, it's more of like a personal thing, too, where it's like...
It's in your hand.
It's you physically
you
own
have
it.
This. This is yours.
You just physically own it, man. You know what I mean? You just take it by the two gripped hands.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And then you stick your tongue out a little.
You spit on it. Spit on that thing. You know.
Shit.
You own that thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I like doing that. But the last time I was there was sometime just this past week. I went to go pick up one of my all-time favorite movies.
Armageddon.
No. We'll head close. Twister.
Oh,
with Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt.
Close, man.
And the 4K of it was just released this past Tuesday.
Okay.
So I went down there to go pick it up and everything, and I was talking to the cashier lady, and she was like, "Hey, you know, I was asking for an album that was going to be released by Zach Bryan, country artist, and he released it on digital already, it's on Spotify and all that stuff, but the actual physical version of it doesn't come out until October." Which is weird, you know. So,
just no rush to it, I guess.
I guess, you know, so because I mean? People are not buying it. You know, like CDs are gone by the wayside now, which is sad to say. But anyways, the cashier was like, "Yeah, I'm really waiting for the new Eminem album, you know, Death of Slim Shady and everything." And I asked her, I was like, "Well, when is it coming out?" And she's like, "Oh, I'm not too sure." I'm like, "Well, don't you work here?"
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Isn't music your date?
Aren't you excited? You're excited about it, yet you don't give a crap about the date. I don't understand that.
The hell's wrong with you?
Sounds like she's a big liar to you, dude. I think so. She's just trying to be cool because she mentioned Eminem a little bit once in a while.
Rap music.
It's a nice segue into Eminem because Twister was probably popular when Eminem was popular. The most popular, anyways. me and Dustin were listening to the album on the way to Rec Room the other day.
So it is out now.
It is out now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And it's Eminem, man. I mean, I don't know what to say about it. It's classic Eminem. There's nothing banging per se, like you're going to the club or whatever or something like that. But it's good music. But I mean,
what's the controversy about it?
Well, you know what the thing is, dude, with this, like he's saying a bunch of words that you're not supposed to be saying anymore. Like he's saying the R word all over the place and he's calling things gay all the time, and he's bringing up Christopher Reeves all the time, and you know what I mean? So it's just like
classic Eminem.
Yeah, right? Like it's just like
Christopher Reeves is like early 2000s.
you know what I mean? It's like he wrote these things and then he just saved it for the last album.
Yeah.
And he actually even mentions it like as third person type of thing. Like, why do you even, like there's one where he's fighting, it's called Guilty Conscience 2.
Mm.
And it's Slim Shady and Matthew Mathers talking to each other kind of thing. And he's like, why do you even bring up Christopher Reeves? He's blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I don't know. Just the way that he talks about it is hilarious. But I don't know. There's not a whole lot of real controversy per se on it. He talks about being controversial and him trying to be canceled all the time and this and that. Yet, I don't ever hear enough about Eminem being canceled or him being controversial.
True that.
So it's almost like he's trying to garnish this
that's probably what it is,
this type of stuff.
Yeah,
so it builds into something.
He's almost kind of like the human version, rap version of like South Park. They always try to push the boundaries, you know, try to see where that line is, you know, And people are now kind of at the point, well, that's what they do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's their thing.
That's just Eminem.
The controversial thing that Eminem probably could do is probably release like a Christian album or something.
Oof.
You know, where he doesn't swear or he doesn't.
That would be controversial.
You know, or where he sings rather than rapping, you know.
Like gospel hymns or something like that.
That would be controversial. That would be outside the box of Slim Shady. Because ever since, like, the only albums that I really like dug into with Eminem was probably the Eminem Show.
Yep.
And is it Encore?
Encore. Yeah. That does exist. Yeah. I think that's the one you're talking about.
I think that's the only two ones that like I really, really dug into. The Marshall Mathers one, like the first one.
Yep.
There's a couple tracks that I listened to, but I didn't really like really get into it, you know. Yep. But those are the only two. And then after that, it kind of like once you heard all the Slim Shady songs, all the Eminem songs, they all kind of
you feel like you've heard it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
And it kind of, you know, just looking at the Wikipedia page for this album, I'm looking at the critical reception of this.
Yeah, man.
And it's not that great, man.
No, right?
It's not bad either.
Right.
It's literally 50 out of 100.
And you know what? That makes total sense, to be honest, right? Because you got a lot of people who are, I don't know, how do I explain it? That is exactly how I would split the fan base for Eminem.
Yeah.
He's always been like, you either like him or you don't like him, right?
Yeah.
And when it comes to his last album, it's no different.
Actually, the only album that I would say that I probably really listened to, like not fully, like where I'd go back and forth, mm-hmm. but I'd listen to all the time, was probably Kamikaze.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. That's probably the only one like I actually like, oh, okay, I put some of my time into it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But I never actually really went back to listen to and all that stuff. So, but the other ones like... Oh, there's another album that he released where...
There's Songs to be Murdered By. That was literally the last album before this one.
Oh, yeah.
And you probably don't even know about it. People forget about it, too, to be honest.
Yeah.
He's got albums out that, that you completely forget, actually. But he's got a good discography. Like, he's got a good
album. Yeah. Like, after Encore, it was Relapse, Recovery. Which
right.
I think it was probably...
Recovery was huge because we finally... Eminem was like coming back kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
It's been a while since we heard from him and he's clean now a little bit. And
yep.
That's when he starts talking about like Proof More after he died and so on and so forth.
And that one had a lot of like radio play hits and all that stuff.
Yeah, that was a softer one. Not Afraid.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then after that probably Recovery one, that's when I kind of really didn't really pay attention to Eminem all that much.
Yep.
Because then he released Marshall Mathers 2, Revival, and then that was the Kamikaze one back in like 2018, which holy smokes, that's already 6 years ago already. And then that music by To Be Murdered By, which I didn't listen to at all. I don't think I've listened to one track on there. And then, of course, this one that just was released by the Death of Slim Shady.
Yeah.
But it's, he's an interesting character or rapper and musician, or I guess you want to call him. Where it's like, or artist, where it's like, you can give him all the praise and accolades as being a pretty, probably one of the best rappers, probably.
Yeah.
But it almost seems like there's more quantity over quality, I guess.
Yes.
In terms of his, and I feel like Kanye West is kind of getting to that level now.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Where his first like albums there was bangers, man. And then it kind of...
Okay, so we're seeing this trend a little bit, right?
It's like,
about how...
You ever see that drawing of the horse where it's like in four?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the drawing starts off amazing and then
the head's all nice and
stuff.
And
then at the end is just like stick drawing.
Yeah, the ass is ass. The ass is ass, yeah. No, I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact, I mean, with the streaming world, right? I mean, that might have something to do with it. Like everything sounded so good for us back at the 2000s, late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And then things start to taper off a little bit because maybe you just feel as an artist, you don't have to try as hard anymore, I guess.
I've always wondered why musicians, say like, for example, the one that I always listen to all the time, Morgan Wallen, one of my favorite artists.
Best rapper alive.
But... Best rapper alive. Likes to say the forbidden word there.
Yeah, I think we all know which one.
No. Anyway, so his two albums, Dangerous, and then I forget what the other one is called, but they're both double albums, and it's like, so there's like 30 tracks on each album,
ugh.
So like 60 tracks altogether.
That's a lot,
and it's kind of like, do you really need to make all that music? Like, do you really need to
Put it all out once, dude. Yeah,
like that's that easily could be four albums that you could spread over 10 years or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and but in this day and age where everything's like the only way you can get music really, really, you know, hot these days is on TikTok. You know.
Yep. True.
No one's put. I'm gonna put my song on radio. Everyone's gonna hear it. The only people are gonna hear it are people going to work or whatever. You know, and they're gonna be all old and everything. You know.
That's so. True, dude.
But on TikTok, everyone's on there. Everyone's, you know, flipping through and they'll hear a song. It gets trending and everything. People are putting on their videos and dancing to it or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like that track there, that millionaire track or whatever. Baby Millionaire.
Oh, Million Dollar Baby.
Million Dollar Baby. Yeah, that's what it's called.
Play it.
Like that one. Like that one's hot, man. Because of TikTok, man.
Yeah.
You know? And
it's a banging song, too.
And apparently...
It could have been commercially successful even without TikTok.
I don't know, man.
Yeah?
I don't know.
It's hard to even gauge that, I guess, to be honest.
It probably could, but I don't know if it would get the same, like everyone knows about it, especially all the young kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? If you put it on radio, maybe they probably would hear it, like, through osmosis of just, I don't know, being on the radio with their, and the parents are playing it in their car or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? But it's just TikTok and all these, you know, the social media streams, and mainly just TikTok because... Kids are not on Facebook, man.
No.
You know what I mean? It's maybe sometimes Instagram, but...
Probably barely on IG, to be honest.
Yeah. It's TikTok that's, you know, where all the cool kids are, you know? Yeah. So...
We got to make a new one.
Yeah. But, it's just interesting with the death of Slim Shady and everything, and he just kind of... He's almost like he's not really... artistically moving forward.
Like motivated to...
I wouldn't say motivated, because he probably is. I mean, he's... This is his 12th studio album, man. You know what I mean? And he could just retire and just live off of his millions and everything and be labeled as a goat and no one would, you know, bat an eye at this. But if he's releasing these albums, it kind of tarnishes it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like the football player or the hockey player sticks around too long.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, "Hey, dude, just retire. you don't have it anymore."
He's like LeBron, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Well, I don't know.
Hey, actually, do you think the way LeBron is still producing now, do you think he's better than Jordan? Because Jordan at his age was on the Wizards at this point, the way where LeBron is now, and Jordan was getting like 10 points a night or whatever. LeBron is still producing, man. He's going to be on Team USA.
Well,
and not to say I'm trying to bang the drum for LeBron James,
No, I know what you're saying.
I respect LeBron James and what he's done in his career and how consistent he is. There's a lot of things that I don't like about LeBron, the flopping, the, you know, going back to teams and all that kind of stuff, you know. But
it's difficult to say. I mean, I'm a fan of. I mean, it's all generational a little bit, right? Like you grow up with Jordan, you grow up with Brady, you know, and then you seem to think that your generation has the best players until the new generation. I mean...
It's even like music.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, fits
in with music, man.
Eminem, so on and so forth, right? So, I mean, it's almost you can't dispute the fact that he is producing more than Jordan, right?
Yep.
But that doesn't solely say he's better than him overall or career wise, I guess. I mean, Jordan's got all the rings, right?
Yeah.
And he was a top dog on not bad teams, but you didn't hear about a whole lot of people around him very often. When LeBron, you know, I feel like he had help that he could have.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Man, look at the Cavaliers team he took to the finals against the Spurs.
Well, I mean...
And they were like a 66-win team, too, at that point, when LeBron was only like 23 or 22 or something.
He was super young still.
Yeah. Because they have like a Galskis on there and Varejao.
Yeah, legends.
Yeah.
God.
Like, these, like just a team full of like...
Kwame Browns or something. The Kwame Browns.
I think statistically LeBron is better than Jordan.
And I don't think you can't dispute that.
Yeah. And right? I think consistency-wise, too, I think he's better than Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think impact-wise and legacy-wise, I think Jordan's still top dog.
Okay. I mean, if that's the thing, though, right? I mean, when you're bunching everything into one bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
then it's difficult to say. But I mean, if you're picking it apart and breaking it down into sections like that, then they both have very varied success.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when I completely agree with that when it comes to the longevity and the consistency and the points that they put up.
Yeah.
LeBron's got it.
Yeah.
But the impact and the and whatever else you mentioned,
just like being in just pop culture, you know what I mean? Like where he's
absolutely huge,
completely mainstream.
Like everyone knows you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
When they see that logo, they know exactly who it is. The Jumpman logo. Like everyone knows exactly who that is, man. And I feel like LeBron always put himself up to to Jordan. Mm-hmm. You know, they always put him in that same category that he's chasing, as he put it like years ago, where he says he's chasing a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the points, with the titles, and all that kind of stuff. You know, and even wearing 23, like he just always had to put himself in that same conversation of LeBron and Jordan.
Tried to anyway,
you know, and it's. Like, obviously, I think he's lived up to it. You know what I mean? But I just don't think that he'll still have the same impact the way that Jordan has, you know?
Yeah. And you know what? Let's be honest. I mean, LeBron's not the dog that Jordan is.
No, definitely not.
Like, he doesn't have that drive that Jordan is. Jordan, that mindset that he has. Like, you watch the documentary.
Right? Oh, yeah. No,
that mindset.
He's a different breed.
It's like,
man.
You can almost don't even have to achieve as much success as he did, and you'll still be considered one of the best because you have that in you.
Yep.
And that's definitely something that LeBron does not have. And if you were to break it down again into sections like that, that's much higher than LeBron will ever be.
Yep.
In terms of having Jordan. So it's difficult to say. Maybe we'll do like a 3-week, 4-week series. LeBron or Jordan, and we'll finally break it down what's going on. Then we'll finally get the two in here, and then we'll interview them a little bit.
I think that's
Barkley.
I don't know,
or is that Shaq?
I respect the game.
Well, Mr. Jordan, who is better between you and? That same white guy. Were you interviewing Adrian Sutherland a second ago?
Adrian Sutherland. it's just such an interesting conversation. But for me, it'll always be Jordan on top, man.
Yeah, I think it's always Jordan too. Yeah. But I mean, you know, say a few years goes by, and then you get that next superstar, and then you got kids yelling at us about their superstar.
Yeah.
And we'll be like, well, no, LeBron's better than that guy. You know what I mean?
I think.
And then we'll have to talk to this kid and be like, you should have heard about a guy named Michael Jordan back in the day. He was even better than the guy I'm talking about.
Yeah. And you know what I think will help LeBron, though, is once he retires, you know, that, you know, absence makes the heart grow fondness.
Yes.
I think once he retires, maybe a few years
that
after
appreciation
that.
Appreciation will.
Yeah, it'll keep growing, man. And like I said like I said this weeks ago and months ago, like I feel like he should retire at some point because like he takes up so much oxygen within the NBA. You know what I mean? Anything he says, people like it's on first take. You know, mm-hmm. Stephen A. is talking about it first thing in the morning, even though there's baseball happening right now. You know,
I mean, let's be honest though, that's not his problem. That's media's problem though, right? They're just grasping at what's hot. You know what I mean?
And people consume it.
Absolutely.
You know?
And that's what it comes down to. He doesn't, even though he does chase that spotlight once in a while, to be honest.
Yep.
But I mean, end of the day, you're making money. Like there's only guys that only follow LeBron all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And then, and they're still making tons of cash because he's still saying stuff and he's still doing things.
Yeah.
So it is the way it is. Unfortunately.
All right.
The paparazzi.
Big time.
All right,
let's hop into this track here. This is
what is this? What are you doing? What is this?
Jesse might like this one.
Okay, that's good. They tried to kill me, they never killed me. I'm about to spit. I got a rap and here it goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. soundtrack, what's poppin', baby? Y'all ain't know, I go by the name of Lupe Fiasco, representing that first and 15.
Oh yes, welcome back to the Medicine Wheel of Music. And those are some of the tracks I've been digging over these past couple weeks.
Lupe, man.
Lupe Fiasco.
Been a min.
Yeah, man.
He's still putting out music too, dude.
Is he really?
Yeah, man. You just don't hear about it because, hey, the good ones you don't really hear about.
Exactly. It's true, man. That's very, very true. The last track that we just heard, by the way, was Lay Down by Priestess. Which I think was like on the NHL like 10 track or something like that. Even on Guitar Hero, I think.
Yeah.
And then before that, we played a track there with Boys Wanna Be Her with Peaches. When you said when that was the track you wanted to play, I thought that was like Millions of Peaches.
Oh, ding, 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 ding. No, hell no.
Hell no. Just a strong hell no. And then everyone's track of the week right now with Million Dollar Baby, Tommy Richmond. Watch out for him to be on VH1's One Hit Wonder list.
Come on,
in
man.
In 2020.
Just because he's white?
Yeah.
I knew it.
He has, like, I think he's making new music, too. Like, there's TikTok Radio on SiriusXM.
What is that? What does that play?
It plays, like, all the trending tracks really, on TikTok, yeah.
There's enough trending tracks on TikTok where they can have a...
Like an actual radio station, yeah. And it's not, holy. This TikTok radio on SiriusXM isn't like, by the way, isn't like, on SiriusXM sometimes they'll do like kind of, like temporary stations. Like, for example, I got really into the Beach Boys because they had a Beach Boy channel on there. Right. And they played a lot of music that I didn't know, you know, so I was like, oh, I got into this one because of that SiriusXM.
Right.
But this channel, TikTok, is like a dedicated channel in the single digits of the of SiriusXM, which means it's pretty high up there.
Is that the way it works? It's like ranked.
That seems how it works.
Interesting.
Because all the temporary channels will be like in the 79, you know, whatever. So
sounds like a okay. Say you're controlling TikTok radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're playing what's already trending.
Yeah.
But you can also sneak in stuff so it starts trending. Does that make sense? Right,
probably.
Right. You can play some songs on there, and then you can probably find some people playing it on the videos and be like, "Okay, now we get that trending."
Probably, I would maybe some of these DJ because I don't listen to it too often.
No,
like I'll go to it if I'm you know scrolling through the stations and I want to hear a track.
Right,
I'll go TikTok. I'll go to that one, see if there's anything on there that I know or like, whatever. But yeah, so I don't listen to it too often, but I would imagine maybe some of the DJs, maybe they play some of their own stuff, maybe.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
So who knows?
It's pop music. It's just pop music.
That's all it
is. It's new radio. That's all that is, I guess, once I think about it. There's just no DJs in between. I mean.
Trash. Let's just call it what it is, man. Trash.
Oh, God. Richmond, though. Nailed it.
Paulo Banchero, trash.
Okay? Okay, come on, man.
He's not better than my players when I grew up with, man. Ramon Sessions, he's not better than him.
Okay.
He's not better than Sebastian Telfair, man. Hell no.
Fighting words, pal.
Hell no, man.
Be careful what you say. Someone might pop you from a rooftop, baby.
Ooh, might skim my ear.
Ah. And then throw that fist up.
Throw that fist in the air.
Fight!
And then spit on that thing.
Hot. Shit.
Speaking of spitting on that thing, Money in the Bank was last week.
Yeah, dude.
Did you get a chance to watch it at all?
Yeah, I actually watched that.
Excellent. Yeah. It was actually a pretty big week or weekend last week, and for the WWE and for the city of Toronto as well, because it was all took place there in that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They had SmackDown, Money in the Bank, and they also had NXT Heatwave. I didn't catch SmackDown, and I don't catch SmackDown as much as I would like to, just because it's on Friday and there's a lot of other stuff going on, right? And so, but I usually catch like the morning after. I'll watch like the YouTube videos of it or something, right? And but Money in the Bank there, I was really excited for. Actually, last week I was in Fargo last week, and we were coming back that Saturday, and I was really excited because like, we would be back home in time for Money in the Bank. And I got to catch it, and I thought it was a decent, you know, event. The men's Money in the Bank was pretty predictable that Drew McIntyre would win it.
Mm-hmm.
He did state like on that Raw before, leading up to the go home Raw to Money in the Bank, that he was going to use it that night of,
yep,
and cash in for the World Heavyweight Championship.
And when we hear that promise, usually that kind of means,
yeah, it means that
he kind of foreshadows pretty well.
Yeah, but there was a little bit of intrigue. Is it going to be Jey Uso? Is it going to be LA Knight?
Well, I mean, Uso was on the front of the like promotional poster or picture for this whole thing in the first place. So I mean, they're throwing us off the direction a little bit by giving us Jey Uso all over the place. But
yeah,
I actually thought that match was actually really good.
Yeah, I was kind of let down from it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe it's because I'm comparing it to, I mean, I thought the money in the women's Money in the Bank was trash.
Really?
But it had a lot of spots in it. I mean, a lot of botches, but a lot of spots.
It's funny because I liked the women's Money in the Bank over the men's.
So, yeah.
And I think it was probably because of the spots where you had Chelsea Green.
Yeah. So I think I would rather have like a nicely wrestled match.
Yeah.
And no spots, no high spots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one or two, I guess, wouldn't be bad. As opposed to kind of a sloppy match, but you got like four or five high spots, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we got out of the women's match.
And it was pretty sloppy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty.
But the spots that they hit, though, were pretty good.
Chelsea
Green went through those tables there. That was wild. When Io Sky put that
the white noise.
Yeah, whatever it? That Michinoku driver, I think
it was.
Yeah,
Michinoku driver,
right? From the top of that ladder onto another ladder or something. That was pretty huge.
Was that Zoe Stark? She
It was. Yeah.
That was wild, man.
So there were some pretty good spots in that, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. But I think I was more of a fan of the man's.
Just say you don't like women.
Okay, okay, let me just say it finally.
Just say
I it. Like men's women.
That was last month, pal.
I'm ahead of the curve, right?
Yeah, man. You're already aiming for 2025.
Okay, all right, all right. No, I thought that match was great. And then, of course, McIntyre winning that thing. I mean, I'm a big LA Knight fan. I hope they push LA Knight in some way, shape, or form for the next towards SummerSlam.
It seems like he's always getting...
He's there, but he's not quite...
Yeah.
I don't know
if it's like they don't trust him or something.
I couldn't tell you. Maybe they just have so much... so much in the bag with current storylines right now that they can't really sneak him into things.
Yeah.
But he's always like, he's top babyface, right?
Yep.
He's always like number three or no, he's always like number four or five top babyface, right?
Yeah.
It's just a matter of pushing him and finding a nice spot in terms of the storylines. But, mm-hmm. That was a really good match, I thought, anyways. And, next one's Intercontinental title.
Yeah. That one was, Sami Zayn versus Braun Breaker.
I thought that was cool too.
For the IC Championship. That was a good match. That was actually a really good match.
I was really excited to see how Braun Breaker would do against a pretty credible wrestler like Sami Zayn.
What I appreciate with this match is, and pretty much all these matches, is that they all have like something behind it. And Sami Zayn is kind of like being known now for this, or they're trying to tell the story of Sami Zayn where he's like, he's not getting the recognition that he deserves, you know, and where he's like, people are still doubting him, you know, that he's not a credible champion, you know, he's not a main eventer or whatever, you know. And he always pulls it off, you know, he always overcomes that, you know. And with Braun Breaker, of course, he's the hot kid right now, you know. And he beat him clean. Like he beat
Braun Breaker.
There was no funny business, no interference from like Dragunov or anything or any other guys that Braun Breaker's kind of involved with, Ricochet or anything. But he just beat him clean, and I think they're going to fight each other again at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Which is probably where Braun Breaker will probably win.
Yeah.
Because it's the bigger event.
I think so too.
I don't know what it is about Braun Breaker. Like, I like him, but there's something that's not quite there for me yet. I don't know what it is.
You don't know what it is.
It's just, I'm not fully, completely sold on this guy yet.
Is it the wrestling at all?
Not so much the wrestling, because he's a really good performer.
Good performer,
like,
right?
He's really
still green though in certain spots, to be honest, man.
He definitely is. And but there's just
not clicking yet. That's all.
Yeah, for me, he's not there yet as like a main event guy or. I'm just kind of when he does all his athletic stuff where he's running around the ring where he's running back and forth
like Braun Strowman a little bit, where he's just like, there's a part of me too where it's just like, cut that crap out, actually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no need for you to run around the ring like that. But I mean, that spear is huge, and I get it. You gotta highlight some of your best qualities, right?
Yeah.
And I think one of his qualities is obviously the speed that he has. and the impact that he has when he hits you.
Oh, yeah, he does.
And if you can combine the two, then you're going to get something like this where, hey, how about I just run around the ring, hit you at a high speed, and there's just a train wreck at the end.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I get it. That's great. Whatever. But, I mean, I see what you're seeing when it comes to that, for sure. I mean, there's he's undisputably one of the most intense wrestlers right now.
Though, he is, yeah.
Right?
He really is.
And with that intensity, he brings a lot of eyes, brings a lot of fans, because people are starting to do the old, bark with him kind of thing, because he's a Steiner brother, or a Steiner kid.
And even when he, like, he's doing this against babyfaces, too, like Sami Zayn or Ilya Dragunov. Like, these are babyface guys, and when he, like, you know, attacks them like the way he does, they're still barking and cheering for him when he does it, you know?
That's so exactly it.
He's kind of like that cool kind of bad guy right now, you know?
It's cool guy to like right now.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So he lost against Sami Zayn, but I think he's going to win at SummerSlam for that IC title. And then we had the World Heavyweight Championship match with Damian Priest and Seth freaking Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became a triple threat, which I was kind of surprised about. I thought maybe, you know, and it tends to happen this way where the person who has the Money in the Bank briefcase will either cash it in at the end of a match or maybe even before it or whatever. But it always tends to be, you know, once you get that 1-2-3, you know, after they finish battling each other, you know, they just wear each other down, then the person with the Money in the Bank briefcase will come in and cash in.
Right. Logically, that makes sense, though. I mean,
it makes sense, but for whatever reason, Drew McIntyre, maybe he just was too antsy and came out early or whatever, but he cashed in when it was, then it made it into a triple threat match.
Right. So now you have two people that you have to beat, as opposed to waiting at the end when you only have the one person. So, I mean, if we're going to go by logic too, then what are you doing?
And then also with the logic too as well is that by making a triple threat, you get the triple threat rules where there's no disqualification, where you start using weapons, you can start, can you... If you have a hold on someone and they have the rope and they don't let go, can you still? I guess can you get disqualified for that?
I'm not sure, actually.
I don't think I've ever seen that happen.
Actually, now that I think about it, I'm not too sure either. You grab that thing. I feel like they still do rope breaks on it, but you can still hit them over the head with a chair or something.
Yeah,
that's kind of weird. I'll have to go back and see.
Yeah,
but I mean, everyone was talking about that that missed three count out of that match.
That one was crazy, man.
Dude, as soon as I saw that, I was like, I kind of grabbed my head a little bit, my face a little bit, and been like, oh, he's going to get it hard on Twitter after something like that. And then sure enough, you hit that thing, and people are like, get rid of him. Get rid of him.
Yep.
He's just not quite there yet. And I'm like, dang, man, guy.
And the thing is, I like Damian Priest, man. You know, I think
he gives off a good vibe, man.
He does,
He gives
man.
Off like that... Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, cool guy vibe.
Yes,
right?
Exactly, man. And it's not like he is the undisputed champion like Cody is. Like he's like the B champion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like he's not necessarily like the face of the WWE, but I mean he's carrying, I guess, a brand, I guess, with Raw, right?
Right.
But it seems like Cody's more of like the face of the WWE rather than.
Like he doesn't even need the belt, to be honest.
Exactly. Yeah, but man. I like Damian Priest, and he just the way he talks too, man. Like he just has that bass in his voice, and he doesn't even need to try, and it just sounds like a champion. You know what I mean? And he has a look too, where he's tall and he's built and everything. So, but when that happened, it was just like, oh man, this is another thing where people are going to be like, he doesn't need to be.
Yeah, doesn't have it.
Yeah, he doesn't have it or whatever. And it's just like, oh, that sucks for him.
Poor guy, exactly right. But and you see, at the end of that match, after he got the three count,
he was
pissed off,
beating himself up, man. But what happened was for people who didn't watch it, Seth Rollins went for a Falcon Arrow on Damian Priest. And the Falcon Arrow is, you know, where you pick him up and you kind of drive him in between your legs there. And then so when I'm not sure exactly where Damian Priest hit his head on, because it kind of looks like he kind of maybe knocked himself out for a couple seconds, you know, because you could see. When he gets knocked down, you can see him moving his hands, like his fingers.
Oh, okay.
Because he's trying to, like, maybe, like, thinking, like, where am I?
Find
like,
feeling real quick.
Trying to find feeling in his arms or whatever, you know? So he got knocked out in some way, but there's a lot of talk about should the ref have called made it a three? Or did he make the right decision on not, you know, counting the three? Because it just takes everyone out of it, out of the match.
I think it should have been a three, to be honest.
And,
unfortunate, but yeah, it should have been.
I was listening to the Busted Open show about that, and they had a huge discussion about that. And a lot of the old school guys like Bubba, Bully Ray, Mark Henry. They even brought some old school WWE refs onto the show, and they're like, yeah, the old way of doing it was you would have counted the three.
Yep.
You know, and then instead of doing that, instead of, you know, pretending to count to two and then saying that he kicked out, even though you could clearly see that he didn't, because everyone, including the people in the arena, thought it was over because the lights went on in the arena. You know, like the lights came on and they're like, what the hell just happened?
Yep.
Even myself, I was like, was this supposed to happen? Like in the moment when it happened, I was like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
You know,
what's going on right now? Who's champion right now?
Yeah. Like, did they mess up? Like, did, but it just took me out of it. And then of course, Drew McIntyre comes in, and maybe that's why he came early. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. But he came in and he cashed in his Money in the Bank, and it looked like he was going to win. And then of course, CM Punk comes out. And CM Punk, for anyone who doesn't know, has been kind of screwing Drew McIntyre for these titles, mm-hmm. for these title shots, where Drew McIntyre was up against Damian Priest in Clash of the Castle in his home country of Scotland. And it was such a cool ending for that one, too, where the referee got knocked out. So Drew McIntyre, you know, hit his move, and then he's going to go for the pin. And you see a referee slide in, but the camera angle was in a way that you couldn't see the face of the referee. So you could see them counting one, two, and then he stops, and then the camera angle changes, and you could see it's CM Punk that's wearing the referee shirt.
Gives him the bird.
Buddy. Gives him the bird, and it's just like, oh, man, here he is again.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, and then this time around, Drew McIntyre, you know, he's going to cash in the Money in the Bank, and he, like you said, he promised he was going to, you know, walk out of the Money in the Bank with the World Heavyweight Championship. But then CM Punk comes in again, screws him over, and of course, because it's no DQ, he just lays a whooping onto to Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
This point, I feel like I kind of feel sorry for Drew McIntyre at that point.
Yeah, okay.
You know? I'm a big Punk fan. I think everyone knows that by now. I love CM Punk. But at this point, it's kind of like, oh, I just want Drew McIntyre to finally get one over.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just because he's been doing his job so well the last month and a bit.
Yeah.
Or since Mania. Or before Mania, even.
Like, you know, Mania, what I mean? 2020, man.
Okay, like, yeah. Holy.
You want to go that far, man. Because he carried the company through the pandemic.
Yeah, true, right? That. You true know? That. No, he's been working hard, right? So, I mean, there's a part of you who's just like, okay, give him his due, dude. You know, yep. Give him his due. And he did have that WrestleMania moment where he won it briefly. And some people are like, okay, well, that's what he gets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But come on, give him a real reign, I guess, at this point. And then Punk can just win that belt off of him during the reign or something like that.
I mean, that would be good, you know. But
who knows where that's going to go. But yeah, Punk right now, he vows that he will never be champion
as long as he's
on the roster. Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to continue getting that until they settle their score.
And that's the thing, too, that like that makes it like the storyline with that makes it, there's a reason why he's doing that, why CM Punk is doing that, you know. Because he's walking around with his, his family's, you know, bracelet around.
Oh, yeah, right.
Drew McIntyre is
getting personal now.
It's getting personal and everything. And I mean, even this past Raw, where did you watch the exchange between CM Punk and Seth Rollins?
Yes.
That was an amazing.
Those were good barbs promo. Being thrown, yeah, there, man. Dude.
And it felt personal because it had like Seth Rollins. Didn't have that same type of like energy where he would normally come on and be funny and
yeah, and that cackling. Ha, ha, yeah. Ha.
This one felt like he was coming out and like saying, "Hey, look, like not everything is about you, you know. Like this championship match was between myself and Damian Priest, and you had to insert yourself into this,
yeah,
you know, because he by having CM Punk interfere in that triple threat match with Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, and Damian Priest, it got the It made the championship or the champion Damian Priest retain that title by pinning Drew McIntyre, and it also affected Seth Rollins becoming the champion again.
Yeah,
because that's who Damian Priest beat for that title. So it's just like the web of all this happening.
Yes, there's a wonderful way of weaving these storylines together, yeah. Right now, right? So you got this CM Punk Drew McIntyre fiasco that's going on right now, and although we may be seeing it coming down to the end very soon where they'll finally challenge each other and Punk will get cleared, they're already kind of starting the new storyline of Seth having Rollins. Punk with Seth Rollins, yeah. Right? And it's a wonderful way of doing it because we're still so immersed in that McIntyre storyline, but now we're getting this little bit of Rollins on the side, and it's just like, okay, nah, one fire promo and storyline going into the next Fire promo storyline. So it's really interesting to see the way they're doing it with Punk. They're killing it with him right now.
And that storyline.
This is how he's a great wrestler, but I mean, this is how he makes his money, right? The promos that he does.
Yep.
He knows how to talk, especially when it comes to these feuds. So it's getting everyone really revved up.
Yeah, and that storyline between Seth Rollins and CM Punk, man, is going to be just
historic
cinema.
Probably go right to the next Mania, I think.
Probably, yeah. It's going to be really good. And I'm hoping because Triple H now is the head creator guy, and he's bringing back all these old pay-per-views, like Bad Blood is coming back in October.
No Mercy is, too.
Yeah, No Mercy. I'm kind of hoping that Armageddon comes back.
Oh.
And with all these storylines playing with Damian Priest, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, and CM Punk and all that, I'm hoping we can get like another six-man Hell in a Cell, man.
Well,
wouldn't that be amazing?
Well, that would be wild, dude.
Because they haven't had one
since that?
That 2000.
Dude, when you look at that roster, too, that was a wild game. Now that you look back, that was a wild match.
It was, man. It was,
to have all those guys in one match like that, especially in a cell. And bring back that theme, dude.
You bring back the theme.
You know what? Since we're talking about bringing backs, you know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with... They're making so much money right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not very often... Remember they used to make the sets so cool, right?
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with once in a while now doing something cool like that. Making a set once in a while where it's like that as opposed to just having the big screen.
Yeah.
You know, bring it back not all the time, not once a month or something like that, but it maybe once every 4 months.
Yeah.
Doing something like that just to get people nostalgic feel a little bit, get a little more involved, I guess.
Yeah.
That would be really neat. You know, that Armageddon set was actually really cool back in the day. Just having the random Jeep and stuff like that.
Yeah, they would have like that Armageddon with the six-man Hell in a Cell. They had like a bunch of old cars
right
on the stage and everything. And they went to go fight on them and everything.
Remember the cat?
What?
Jerry. Remember the girl or the cat?
Like the wrestler cat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jerry Lawler was a big fan of hers.
Yeah.
And they had, they must have had a bra and panties match or something like that back in the day.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first pay-per-views, Armageddon, where we actually saw some full frontal nudity.
Oh, is that with the hands? No, that was Sable.
No, that wasn't. That was Sable. No, that was straight up. She took her shit off. And
really?
And we're brother like, holy crow, wrestling's awesome.
I gotta buy the VHS now.
Holy dude.
Because it's probably edited on the network.
We saved it on the VHS.
Actually, man. Just a black tape. Unmarked.
Mark, do not erase.
Yeah, do not erase.
Do not tape over. Armageddon scratches out like wedding or something like that.
Mom and dad wedding.
It's just scratched out. It says Armageddon.
Armageddon the cat. What?
What does this mean?
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then after that match, it was the women's Money in the Bank, which, like you said, it was good and not so good as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and the only like name that could probably possibly come out of there was probably Stratton or Chelsea Green.
Mm-hmm.
Because Chelsea Green seems to be kind of getting this organic kind of backing behind her now.
Terrific character
she is,
development
man.
Out of that girl.
She really is. And it's all like her own thing. Like she just the way she her character is.
It's just a bad hour of getting TV time and letting us see it a little bit.
But it's obvious that Stratton is the one that they want to push.
It's Tiffy time.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
You know what? I like Tiff. I like her wrestling. I'm not a fan of just her voice and promos. Like she was doing the aftermath of that thing, like the press conference,
and I
couldn't really take her seriously for some reason. She was talking about like bejeweling and bedazzling the briefcase and stuff afterwards.
Right, yeah.
And I don't know, something about her. I wish she was just a little more serious and things flowed a little more when she was doing her promo work. But for the most part, she's a terrific wrestler. And I mean, that'll only come with experience too. So we'll see what happens out of that.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm glad that you mentioned that the press conference thing, because I did watch that whole thing too. And I watched hers and it kind of turned me off a little bit.
Yeah.
With her when she was like, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well,
she doesn't elaborate very much on things.
Can't you just,
I don't know if she's just,
a little to
right.
it?
I don't know if she's just new at it. You know what I mean? And she's just maybe just a little starstruck or camera shy or what have you.
Yeah.
But I think that with more experience, we may see a little more out of her. But right now, not my favorite, but just keep wrestling and you'll do fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and with a lot of these wrestlers too, and a lot of these stables, they have to stick with it so that way, you know, because like, for example, the Judgment Day, when they first came out, I was not a fan of them whatsoever.
Right.
I was like, this is just another thing of like retribution.
Yeah.
Like, that terrible thing. God, you know? And, but they stuck with it, you know, they made some storylines out of it. And I was like, okay, you know, I buy into these guys.
Yep.
So, and then the 6-man tag match, the main event between the Bloodline, against Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting match, a long match.
Long match, yeah.
I think I even fell asleep like maybe midway through this,
and then walked, and then got up again.
And then I caught the end, yeah. But Solo Sikoa getting the clean win over the champion Cody Rhodes, but with the help of Jacob Fatu. But it's. Interesting, man. Interesting what they're doing with that whole storyline with the Bloodline.
Oh, and it's still going, dude. It's gonna get. I think it's gonna get great.
It's gonna keep on
because it's building right now in terms of storyline. The SmackDowns that we're seeing with Heyman being out right now. And,
yeah, that's right,
dude. People are already chanting for Roman, something that you didn't think would be happening at first, but all of a sudden they're getting louder and louder, dude. When he shows up, that place is gonna pop off.
It's crazy how when they tried to force Roman. You know, like, everyone hated it. Now that he's gone and people kind of respect... It's almost like the LeBron James thing, where he was here for so long, you know, and then once he's gone, you're going to miss him. And now that Roman has been gone, and you haven't heard anything from him at all.
Nope.
You know? And he's been gone that whole time, and now you haven't heard anything from him. And it's like, everyone's kind of like, well, we kind of miss Roman now,
yeah.
You know? Because I wouldn't say Cody's reign has been terrible, but it's been okay.
Yeah,
you know, like, he's had good matches with AJ Styles and all that, but Roman Reigns brings that extra, you know, star factor to it.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. I mean,
he just has that look and everything, and his actions and everything. But I'm super excited to see what they do with that, because it's obviously, you know, Solo Sikoa's got his own crew now with Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, and there's another Tongaloa,
yeah, which is a bum. Like, yeah. Get rid of that bum, dude. I don't know who's listening right now, but Tama Tonga, get rid of that bum. He can't do anything right. He botches everything he's a part of.
I've seen that, man. I've seen videos where, like, people
put a highlight package together.
Yeah, where he's botching
everything.
And then
some of the stuff in Japan where he's just doing bad little, like, chops and stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, just get rid of that guy. You know, replace him with someone new.
I've seen he botched the low blow on Kevin Owens. But it, like, hit his, I think it was
Tama
Tonga, like, hit him in the head or something.
He punched him right in the crown, dude. It was a real punch, too. Like, he missed the wrong, son of a gun.
It's so funny.
But, yeah, no, I'm starting to be a believer when it comes to Solo. I didn't think I'd actually say that, but the aura that he's starting to bring now, the way he's dressing, the lighting that they're using, he's even growing his beard out a little bit and stuff, like... He's starting to give me a this guy's important type of feel.
Yeah.
And just the way he's bossing everyone around and stuff. So it's going to be interesting to face-to-face when you see Solo and Roman go out.
I think Roman mentioned, like, years ago where he thinks that Solo was going to be, like, the next big one. You know, the next big bad guy. And it was, like, one of these, like, random videos I seen either on Twitter or TikTok or whatever. Kind of just rolled by and was like, oh, well, that's interesting, you know, that... They kind of predicted that he would be kind of like the next big bad guy or something. Or I don't know. There was videos of like how, like, was Solo the main guy all along?
Because
there's like videos of Solo when, like at WrestleMania 40, remember when Solo was like getting mad at Roman? Like, pin him now or whatever.
Yes,
like, and Roman was like, I'm trying, you know? Like,
right.
I'm trying to do it. And
planting the seed right there.
Yeah,
right?
they're planning it all along where he's like... Because there was another point too where they're standing in the ring. You know, it's Roman, Solo, and Paul Heyman behind him. And he kind of had to like had this look... he had to look over to Solo Sikoa. And he almost like he had to get permission to do something. And it was kind of like, whoa, smokes, man, there.
And now we're starting to find out Solo, he's more like short-tempered, he's more aggressive, he's more gets to the point, get things done type of thing. So, again, super interested to see where that storyline goes.
Exactly. All right, so thank you so much for everyone for tuning into the Medicine Wheel of Music and letting us talk about our very favorite subject, wrestling.
And the Bombers one.
And the Bombers one. It was really hot.
Yeah.
Stay tuned to the CKW because those boys from Neon Beige are coming up, and then we'll be talking a little bit more about the Bloodline storyline and the feud. We're going to end the show off here with a track here that I think just reminds me of a little artist that we grew up idolizing and loving by the name of Shania Twain. This is Megan Maroney with Lucky here in CKW 95.9.
I'ma make a bad decision.